have the outline with you, you recognize there are not that many scripture verses. There's a very good reason for that, because I have a lot to tell you this morning, which you sometimes already know and sometimes you don't know. But one thing that we have learned this week is that words do have power. For the last 20 years, the United States of America had leaders all the way up to the White House who have made announcements right from the beginning that we are going to transform, and I quote the person, transform the United States of America, which that meant is to take all the biblical foundations out of every public arena and eventually let nobody talk anymore about what we consider to be our calling, be a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then over the last few years, probably 10 years or 15 years, we have heard other things accumulating, where all of a sudden the people who have Bibles and who go on Sunday to church and who believe that Jesus Christ is truly the one who has all authority and all power in heaven and on earth. And if you believe that, you are a deplorable, that's one of the words spoken. We are native national terrorists. We are on the terrorist list. And the church is totally asleep. And so I show you from the Bible this morning that ignoring what people say has severe consequences. Let me say it again. Anything you say about victory or about me or about leadership has severe consequences. Everything you say about the government has severe consequences. Everything you say about anybody in a negative way without you having a proof, just because you don't like it, has severe consequences. Just one of the leaders has been killed because people didn't like what he said. Has severe consequences. We have that loose tongue. I know you don't say it, you don't even have to say it to a person. You say it into your phone and then send it in a text message. I've many times told you, this is one of the most evil things Christians can do. Send out texts, negativity everywhere, okay? Saying things you can't prove, saying character assassinating words, which you should never say, but you do it anyway. And then you walk around like, I am God's appointed judge in this situation. That's evil. And it's not set on fire by your own heart. Your heart is evil if you do that, but it's set on fire by Satan. You say, well, do we have people in the church who could do that? Absolutely. Anyone who is not happy or is jealous of something will give themselves over to this kind of method. And it's going much deeper than you and I think. And I prove it to you. These are not my words. These are actually the words of Jesus' brother, James. Go with me to James and let's listen to his words. These words are tough, by the way, but I think James meant it to be tough. And the Holy Spirit reminds us that we have to take them deadly serious. Look at chapter 1. Begin in verse 2. We know all these verses. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. I can stop there for a second. If you want to have a strong faith, and if you want to have steadfastness, you will never, ever use your tongue to take somebody down. Never. That will destroy your faith and will make you weak. Not steadfast. Count it all joy. People come to me and say, Pastor, did you know? I said, yeah, I'm joyful over everything God does, whatever the outcome is. For you know that the testing of your faith, every time that happens, it's a testing of our faith. And faith that is not tested is fake. It doesn't hold. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If you want to be filled with what God has for you, Let the test begin. Let it produce steadfastness. Let us have going to the trials, whatever the trials may be, and come out on the other end. And we say, how in the world should I know if this is a test, if that's just the enemy working? If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach. Where are we going to go when you have a test? Oh. And it will be given to one who's asking for wisdom. Why in every test we need wisdom? But here is the clincher. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. You can't doubt God that he is in it. We sang this morning. This is not our battle. This is God's battle. Do you really believe that God is in it, in everything you experience? I didn't say he caused it. How many of you know we're stupid enough to cause a lot of stuff ourselves? He didn't cause it. But we cannot doubt, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven, tossed by the wind. Oh boy, do the winds blow these days from every corner. He said, you go with the sweep of the wind, whatever comes along. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. The question is, where does the person get then the ideas if he doesn't get it from the Lord? Well, he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Wow, this is James. Unstable in how many ways? All our ways, we're going to be unstable. But we obviously, like little roosters, we strut down the road and we say, it's me, I got that all under control, I know I'm right. And we never look in the Word of God, we never ask God for wisdom. We already got wisdom, we think. No, it's not working that way. We have to be careful. It's not working that way. If that will not be enough, James is a hard hitter. You just think you got the first bullet, you get a second one. Look at chapter 3. He's giving us now the detail where that's all coming from. Not many of you should become teachers. Why does James put that in there? Most people get upset in the church because they don't get a leadership position. Most of the challenge in the church is leadership. They wanted a position which God has never appointed them to be in. Because if God wants you to be in a leadership position, how many would like to say, he knows how to do it? He knows. And if you don't get it, forget about it. You're not the one. God has never called me to have a big church. I know it. I knew it since day one. I thank the Lord for it. I even said to him, Lord, 300 is just perfect. I'm a person who loves to have personal contact with the people. If you have 1,000, there's no way that I can get you. I don't even know your name when you come in. But if you come to our church and I met you and you told me the name, I remember who you are. That's a personal shepherd. A shepherd who doesn't know his sheep lost quite a few. Let not many of you become teachers. Why? For you know, you should know that, that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. I know why I'm tough. I know why I only go with the Bible. I know that I don't care what people say about me. I know why. I don't care what people say. One day I have to stand before God and give account what I said. If I'm going to water down the truth, if I say I leave a person in the church who did wrong and doesn't want to make it right, I am being judged for it. And I'm not going to let this happen. Because he said, for we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. Listen to this. If we put bits into mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. I happen to know how that works with horses. It's true. It's true. That doesn't mean they don't buck every so often. Sometimes I think Christians are not cheap. They're horses. And they haven't been really broken yet. And they're not fun to ride, by the way. Then he goes on to say, look at the sheep's hips also. Though They are so large and they're driven by strong winds. They are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. The pilot directs. This is now not the wind drives you, what we said at the beginning. This is now the pilot, the one who's in charge of the body, is now making decisions. See that? So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a force it set ablaze by such a small fire. Every time you and I do evil talk, we set something in motion, a fire that consumes other people, that consumes relationships, in some cases consumes entire churches. It sets us on fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. You need to underline that. The tongue is a world of unrighteousness. Unless the Holy Spirit is in it, it will never do the right thing. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by what? By hell. I didn't say that. This is James saying that. Such tongues are set on fire by hell. Total evil. For every kind of beast and bird of reptile and sea creatures can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. The focus there is you need to submit to the Holy Spirit who gives you wisdom. Remember chapter 1? And there you just have to go and ask to get wisdom so that he can control your tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. It kills. We did we bless our Lord and Father? See, these are not people who don't go to church. These are not people who don't claim to know Jesus. These are people who claim that they ought to know God. But look at this. They speak and curse people who are made in the likeness of God. Poison, poison. And we have seen that poison being spread throughout the Western world over the last probably 100 years. It got worse and worse and worse. And I tell you, what we need is divine light. We need the Holy Spirit to put light on these things. This is not something to take lightly. I think we just got a little wake-up call last Tuesday. Nobody is safe. And the way people reacted to it, some of them, is outright evil. We have leaders in America, in every governmental agency, who rejoice when somebody gets assassinated in the United States of America. That is evil. I don't care about the person who it is who gets assassinated. We have no right to assassinate somebody because they say something I don't like. I pulled something up which Charlie Kirk actually said himself. And I quoted, "When you tear out a man's tongue, you are not proving him a liar. You're only telling the world that you fear what he might say." Well spoken. In other words, your attack on the physical body will not change the fact that you don't like what the person says. So I told my wife, I said, interesting what Wikipedia just put up after Charlie Kirk got assassinated. Wikipedia used to be the source where you get everything for truth, correct? This is the newest update. I just downloaded it. American political activist and author Charles James Kirk was a right-wing American conservative political activist, author, conspiracy theorist, a media personality. See how they put that right in there? If you don't believe their garbage, you are a conspiracy person. The problem with conspiracy is if you give long enough time, it always proves to be a truth. He co-founded the conservative organization Turning Point USA in 2012, and was its executive director. That's all. There's not a single good word in Wikipedia. Now go and download Wikipedia from the left-wing media, or from transgender people, or from abortionists. Go look it up. Do the homework. The most glorious characteristics are being portrayed. I pulled a few quotes just to remind you. Trump parrots Hitler. Joe Biden stated when he was president, December 2023. That's poison. That sets the forest on fire. Later adding that MAGA conservatives were the largest threat to democracy. Let me quickly say something. I'm not in the political arena, you know that. But I call them out if they do something evil. That's my job. My son yesterday said, Dad, you know, politics, I know you're not in politics, but politics, Jesus was in politics. I said, no, he just confronted him. When they said, hey, don't you know Herod wants to kill you? Jesus said, with a smile on his face, go tell that fox. He said, that guy is evil. You know, he didn't mind. So anyone who calls evil good, evil will not depart from them. Anyone who calls evil good, evil will not depart. And let me share something with you as a pastor. When you speak evil of the church or the leadership without any ground, biblical ground, evil will not depart from your home until you make it right. It will never depart. That's a promise. Hillary Clinton, one of my favorites, called conservatives a basket of deplorables. Listen, she's a smart lady. When she said a basket, I know exactly what she's talking about. She's talking about the evil basket that is being brought over to China. She knows exactly what she's talking about. She calls us the ones who are creating Babylon, the evil empire. And she suggests imprisoning every conservative voice for spreading propaganda. I just quoted her, okay? Adolf Hitler was elected Chancellor of Germany. He worked to discredit institutions to the point where people believed it. This is the same type of propaganda we heard in the 1920s and during World War I against Jews. Representative James Clyburn stated that in 2019, talking about all the people who voted Trump into the office. Don't we have a right to vote? Don't we have a right to say what we want to say? See, this is the big danger, my friends. I do not like what the President Trump just did when he says we're going to cut all these people down who speak badly. He just violates the same thing what the Democrats have violated. I don't like it. He has a lot of good things, but that was a wrong decision. He now takes down those who have free speech. Free speech means that I have to let the thing up there when somebody says something I totally dislike. It always comes back. Do I like what they say? No. This is what Charlie Kirk's power was. He let people talk their opinions. He let them stand, let them say it. He listened. And then he gave them a good biblical argument. That's the power. And the only way that they can silence you is killing you. They just proved it. They can't do it with laws. They can only do it with violence because it's set on fire by hell. We cannot go there. If you're going to say, oh, yeah, no, that's great. You need to change your thinking. That is not biblical thinking. It's going to come back to hunt us. Believe me. Pray for these people that God opens their eyes, and if they don't want to open, the wrath of God shall come upon them. People always say, what are you going to pray now for that guy who shot? I'm not even sure that guy shot him. I'm a conspiracy theorist. Hey, I learned my lessons. JFK. Okay? The guy from the window shot him? No, he got shot from the front. The first thing I told my wife is a story doesn't make sense whatsoever. It was a sharpshooter. Whether he got shot? Into the neck. Last time I looked, the neck is in the back. This is the throat. Just saying. I don't believe whoever did it was doing it alone. I don't believe it. As a matter of fact, I don't believe a single word our government says. I always say, I don't believe it. Prove it to me. Prove it to me. I need to have proof. This is what we always say in the church. For heaven's sake, start thinking. Stop listening and just taking it in. I don't care what the source is. You have been given a mind to critically think. Ask questions. That's the minimum we can do as God's people. Ask questions. Ask even uncomfortable questions. That's okay. And think. Listen, 99% of all texting in the world would never be texted if they would think for 30 seconds before they do text. That's stupidity on steroids. Think it over. If you have something to gripe about it, pray for a week before you say anything. Don't get these things moving. It does so much damage, and the church is not excused. We need divine light. We don't need more division. We need to stand for the truth. You know, when you tell us that we are Nazis, that we are Hitler's, they called Charlie Kirk, that he was the youth organizer of the Nazi youth. That's what they called him. When you say that, there is an orchestrated manipulation of the mind of the American people, and the American people don't get it. What they're saying is, we are at the cusp of a world war, and Trump and Charlie Kirk are the instigators. They caused hatred in the country. They divided the country, and now we go to war. In the next 6 months, we're going to be in full-blown war. Do you remember President Trump when he said, we sent no money to Ukraine, we don't send any soldiers on the battleground, we don't do all these things? He has changed. He has changed. He sent 50 billion of weapons over to Ukraine. If they have no weapon, the war is over. Europe, you have to read the European newspapers. I tell it all the time. They sometimes have an English version of it that helps you. You know, just click the button and it will translate it. They are going into full-blown war no later than March. This is what they say. I didn't say that. They say that. Our nation is divided. The churches are divided. We have not a chance to stand as long as we have elements in the church. They want to do their own thing. They don't care about leadership. They don't care about what the Word of God says. They want to have it their way. You have not a chance to stand. This is a battle of survival. When I asked the Lord once, you know, a year ago when I was that close to be with him, I missed it. That close. I said, why do you keep me alive? Okay, officially I should be dead. And the only answer I can come up with, there's still work to be done. You know? That's the only answer I can come up with. I was ready to go, but I told you that publicly. My wife maybe is not always for it. I understand, and Peter said, I'm not ready to let you go yet. I understand that too. But there is work to be done. Listen, millions of people believe the rhetoric played on, I call it the loop play. You know, in music we have loops, you know. So when you go on a national media outlet, they're playing loops. Click. Everybody says the same thing at the same time with the same sentences. Just loop. Okay. We listen to that garbage over and over, and we think it doesn't have an impact on our mind. Oh, yes, it does. And let me remind you, it was the left who has been encouraged and permitted to act out violent acts in support of their causes, starting with George Floyd. Okay? And what people say, like I said, freedom of speech is a concept that is embedded in our Constitution. If you're going to say you are a constitutional patriot, don't you dare join the movement of sponsoring speech censorship. You become a double-tongued person, unstable in all your ways. Don't do it. Don't do it. Let them say what they want to say, and consequences are going to happen. We're going to go to the Lord and ask for wisdom. How do we going to do these things? We need divine light shining into those arenas. Don't get emotionally so involved that you make all the wrong decisions. Don't do it. Keep your head. I think conservatives genuinely fear retribution, and there's probably a cause for that. Because if you're a real conservative Christian, you never change your opinions on truth. And so what can you do if they can't handle it? You become a target. That's just the way that is. Charlie Kirk, I never met him personally. We have one of his representations here who works for him. And he bravely represented conservative beliefs. He did. He touched a lot of millions of young people, especially. That was kind of his target. And he visited college campuses everywhere and was not afraid to stand. You have to look it up on YouTube. He has about 24 million downloads when he tackled the Oxford leadership on biblical truth. They hated him with a passion. As a matter of fact, when he got assassinated, the president of the Oxford organization was cheering because they couldn't beat him in the debate. Go listen to it. Gently, he just leads them to the truth. They have no answer, only hatred left. And these are supposed to be our most brilliant minds? No, sorry. And then before he was declared dead officially, mainstream media suggested that one of his supporters was so happy and shooting a gun against him. And people believed that garbage. And obviously what we're going to see is now, we have to have gun control, correct? Well, now the politicians, we must stop fighting. I agree. But there's not a politician in the world who has the power to do it, because most of the politicians on either side of the aisle are not for what we stand for, biblical truth. There will be a lot of people coming up, they will say, oh, I'm going to represent Charlie Kirk, I'm going to take this minister and I'm going to go to the college, I want to do this, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. Let me tell you something. Be aware of hucksters. Whenever there is something going bad, these guys are popping up like mushrooms. Don't take it. Let me say this. Nobody can replace Charlie Kirk. He was a unique person. You can't replace him. They can take over ministers, but you can't replace a human being. Uniquely raised up by God for a very specific purpose. People say, how in the world could God allow this to happen? You're going to ask him when you get there. I don't know the answer, but I know one thing. In God's eyes, Charlie Kirk's ministry was finished. Come home. That simple. No surprise to God. You say, how can that be? That brings me to some deep biblical truth. Questions which we can ask. Could God have made a universe that didn't get itself into such a mess? Could he? Couldn't God have made beings that did not sin like we do, that did not destroy each other and hate one another? Could he have done it? Of course he could have done it. He created everything that exists, except one thing. But I'm not going to tell you what it is. That is for another sermon. But you see, God created everything a man once created too. God made human beings in his image. Man creates robots. God gave human beings free will. Man doesn't want anybody to have free will so they can control it. You use the tongue many times to control other people. We just have that nasty tendency. We can make beings, we can, what we call robots, but they are not moral beings. Animals are not moral beings. They act by instinct. And if you and I act by instinct, we are acting like animals. Since when did we get down to that low level? Heard once a preacher say, so if you go to the zoo and you're stupid enough to put your head between the rails until the lion comes and just whoop and eats your head. You don't get the lions to the Supreme Court, do you? You can't judge them because they're not moral creatures. You can only judge moral creatures. C.S. Lewis, in the book The Case for Christianity, he said it beautifully. I quote him, God created things which had free will. That means creatures which can go wrong or right. If a thing is free to be good, it's also free to be bad. And free will is what has made evil possible. Let that sink in. Why then did God give them free will? Because free will, though it makes evil possible, is also the only thing that makes possible any love or goodness or joy worth living. A world of automata, of creatures that worked like machines, would hardly be worth creating. I hope our scientists listening. The happiness which God designs for his higher creatures is the happiness of being freely, voluntarily united to him and to each other in an ecstasy of love and delight compared with which the most rapturous love between a man and a woman on this earth is mere milk and water. And for that, they've got to be free. Of course, God knew what would happen if they used the freedom the wrong way. Apparently, he thought it is worth the risk. If God thinks this state of war in the universe a price worth paying for free will, that is, for making a real world in which creatures can do real or harm and something of real importance can happen instead of a toy world which only moves when he pulls the string, then we may take it, it is worth paying. Free will. Do you know why we have come where we have come? It is the church who preached for hundreds of years that we don't have free will. What a lie. What a lie. I always say, the church goes first and then goes the nation. If we're going to preach that we don't have free will, we overstep the boundaries of how God calls sovereignty. I'm going to show you that in a second. God is absolutely sovereign. But obviously, it is clearly stated that he gave us free will, okay? And when we tell the people that humans have no free will given by God, what do you think the politician thinks? We are the chosen ones. We're going to tell them what to do. They don't know what to do. They're just a bunch of idiots. And God has chosen us. In the old days, a king was chosen by God, correct? In some cases, they even called them gods. Because they have no free will. God has done it. And we church have taken... We need to get away from Plato, by the way. Okay? The Greek philosopher. We should get away from this. That stuff has infiltrated the church to such an extent that the church people don't even know right or wrong from a biblical perspective. Sad. A.W. Tozer, he said it in a beautiful way as well. How many of you have ever read the book, The Knowledge of the Holy? Oh man, you gotta get going. Here is my view, he said. God sovereignly decreed that man should be free to exercise moral choice. A man from the beginning has fulfilled that decree by making his choice between good and evil in the garden. When he chooses to do evil, he does not thereby countervail the sovereign will of God, but fulfills it. Inasmuch as the eternal decree decided not which choice the man should make, but that he should be free to make it. God sovereignly gives us the freedom to make choices. He's absolutely sovereign, and we still can exercise our choices. If in his absolute freedom God has willed to give man limited freedom, who is there to stay his hand or say, "What are you doing?" Man's will is free because God is sovereign. A God less than sovereign could not bestow moral freedom upon his creatures. He would be afraid to do so. Amen to that. Couldn't be said any better. God is absolutely sovereign. You say, why do you bring that up? Because evil people just made a choice to take a voice for God out of this world. Could God have hindered them from doing so? Yep. But he lets them make moral choices and he holds them accountable. See, this is another thing. We are not the judges. God is the ultimate judge. But every country who has not a legal system, but a justice system, is commanded by God to bring justice. If you murder somebody, your life goes. Don't give them a life sentence. If it's proven that you murdered somebody, you go on the wall, or they used to hang him in the old days. That's God's. You'll fight by the sword, you'll die by the sword. It's that simple. We have gone away from that, correct? We are such wimpy people in the church. Oh, you know, no. And that brings up a lot of questions, which I don't address this morning. But we're talking about the Holy Spirit. You cannot understand what's going on in the world unless you have the divine light shining upon these things and your eyes are being opened. Don't sleep. Sometimes I would like to come and just shake you a little bit and say, have your eyes open. It's an evil world. The battle is intensifying. And let me wrap it up with a little thing before we go into the Gospel of John. This was all prep work for the Gospel of John. And you're lucky I didn't unload everything on you. See, my heart is passionate about truth. I'm passionate about you knowing what's going on. I'm passionate about that you understand there is a huge battle raging in your heart, in your mind, in your families, in your school, in your workplace, everywhere. There is a huge spiritual battle raging, and America will lose it because of the church. The church is woke. The church projects all their woke agenda. My wife just reminded me of a huge church in America who's feeding the hungry like crazy. I said, yeah, look it up. Go do your homework. They get the money from the government, making millions with it. They don't have the people in the congregation paying for it. I could give you names. It's not for you. Do your own homework, okay? And they use the churches as distribution centers. Why? Why? Because the government tells them what to do when they want something to get done. Ergo, COVID-19. 1,000 of the top leaders in the United States of America gathered together where in Washington, D.C., had a gathering, and everybody says, do what we tell you to do or else. Don't you know the one who takes money is a slave to the one you take the money from? Don't you get that? I mean, we teach that in kindergarten, or at least we should. We're dumber than dumb when we do this kind of stuff. Either God pays the bill or somebody else does, but I am for God's way to go. If he doesn't give you the money, don't buy it. Isn't that simple enough? So let's go to our text. You didn't believe me, I said we're going to get going. John chapter 16. I thought you have nothing better to do anyway today, so we can go a little longer. No, I want to wrap it up in a very simple way. And we're going to read 11 verses in chapter 16. These are Jesus' words to his disciples. He's about ready to go to Jerusalem and get crucified. For 2 years, he did some incredible things, and the disciples were excited how it works. He said, I have said these things to you to keep you from falling away. What? He said, all the things I've taught you, I taught you so that you don't fall away when things don't go your way. They will put you out of the synagogues, or here will be churches. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he's offering service to God. It's a religious action. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you, that when the hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. In other words, all the things you needed to know when I was here, you have been able to watch as I did it. Now I'm going to leave. Now you're going to have to be remembered or reminded by the Holy Spirit. He said, nevertheless, in verse 7, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. I could stop right there and answer. Who tells you that Charlie Kirk's life is a blood of a martyr that is the seed for much more to come? How many of you have ever read the Book of Martyrs, Fox's Book of Martyrs? Yeah. Whoa. You talk about we sailing in a dark environment, not having a clue. This can happen again. And then the guy who was deeply involved in it, he then quickly got 40 theologians together and said, let's write the Bible in English. And it's the only authorized version around. It was King James who burned our brothers and sisters on the wood stacks. Wow. Verse 8. And when he comes, that's the Holy Spirit, listen, he will do a few things. He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father. And you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. So, these are these verses, 8 to 11. If you study these things, you quickly recognize that Jesus is pointing in a different direction what the Holy Spirit is coming to do. Because in the 14th chapter, you know, the 14th chapter to the end of 17th chapter is Jesus' discourse before he goes and dies. And he said, the world cannot know the Holy Spirit because it doesn't know and love God, correct? So the world is not a recipient of the Holy Spirit. They have no divine light. What in the world do we expect from political leaders who don't even have a born-again experience? They cannot see the light. They don't have the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. And in the midst of hostilities of the world, the Holy Spirit will defend believers, strengthening their witness and the recollection of the things Jesus said. That's in chapter 15. And now we're going to go to 16. If you go to chapter 14 and 15 in John, and I just summarize it for you, these are all defensive actions the Holy Spirit does. Defensive actions. Now he goes on the offensive. As if in a court of law, we just read it. The Holy Spirit is now on the attack, so to speak. Defender now becomes the prosecutor and the judge. He was in the court of law. That's why, by the way, the Holy Spirit does. He is the defender. Now he becomes the prosecutor and the judge. We can see that this is precisely the role of Jesus in the Gospel of John. He who was on trial, who must defend his signs and wonders before the authority who have no divine light, will finally judge the accusers. He will be the ultimate judge. So in verse 8 it says, and when he comes, he will convict the world. The word to convict is a very interesting Greek verb, it's an action. Elenko is the meaning, means to prove wrong about. It is the Holy Spirit who proves to the world that they are wrong. You say, okay, that's great. Let him go to work. That's not the way that goes. The sense is that the Holy Spirit is a prosecuting counsel, now exposing the world's sinfulness. How would the American people have recognized how evil we are as a nation unless they see on all the TV news for a whole week how they assassinate a person who has never, ever verbally assaulted anyone? How do we know? The Holy Spirit let it happen. The whole world. There were over 1 million people yesterday watching in London, saying enough is enough. In London. BBC said there were about 110,000. You have to look at these pictures. It's unbelievable. They say what is done in America is the outcome of what we do in Europe. Hate speech, censorship, totalitarian ideas. They see it coming in America. They said, this is proof. And I tell them from a biblical context, the Holy Spirit uses that for the whole world to see how wicked we are. You can't hide it. It's not done in the darkness. For everybody to see. And then some of the responses is out of wickedness. It's outright demonic. In the New Testament, that word, you know, elenko, is 70 times used, and every time it's used to someone's sin being exposed. The meaning of the verb has to do with exposing sin and its guilt. Let me say it again. To exposing sin and its guilt. These people who do these kind of things are guilty of other things. In order to get rid of the guilt and the jealousy and the evil, they just pull a trigger somewhere. This is the outward thing. This is what you get. This exposure is leading to conviction. And they hate conviction. This is what Charlie Kirk did, by the way. By simply telling them the truth that God made male and female, there's no such thing as transgender. They got convicted. How are we going to deal with him? Get rid of him. That's how we deal with it. Judgment cannot be eradicated like this. Judgment, they're going to be, the fundamental idea here is conviction, but also judgment. Do you know? America is on trial. The churches in America is on trial. And if we are found guilty, woe is me. I don't want to join that chunk. Jesus was innocent. And the world stands accused of sin and guilt. Still is doing the same evil thing. And I think the world is put on notice here. Its guilt will be exposed. And it will get worse. The Spirit will bring to light the true meaning of sin and righteousness and judgment. It's the Holy Spirit's work. The world is guilty. This is why the Bible says you cannot be a person who follows Jesus and says, I'm in his kingdom, and be a person of the world or be even a friend with the world. It's impossible. The world is guilty. Remember, this world was given to human beings imaging God, being the stewards of God's creation. How well are we doing? And by the way, fellow man, how well are we doing? Now comes the hammer. I waited for the last. The work of the Spirit here is in operation on the conscience of the world. But since the world cannot receive the Spirit, this operation will be affected to the work of the church. The Holy Spirit lives in us, which has the Spirit and which provides a bold testimony to the truth, even if they assassinate you. The disciples who have been wrong accused are affected. We have been wrongly accused many times. We will be affected, and the outcome is in God's hands. This is the Holy Spirit's work. This is the church's doing. Why are we fighting with one another over stupid things when we ought to be the world's light to bring the guilt upon them, and they come to the conclusion there is no way but the Lord Jesus Christ who can save them? And for that, they would have to forsake all the garbage. Concerning sin, Jesus said in verse 9, because they do not believe me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the rule of this world is judged. Whoa, three things. If I would give you a piece of paper, say, do a little essay for me, would you? What that means? You go, oh, let me scratch, maybe activate some brain cells. It's not difficult in all in the connection with all what he says. The first error is the refusal to believe, which is this. That's the first error, okay? It does not refer to ignorance. You can't claim ignorance as if an issue is a problem or of intellect. It's not intellect. The problem is of your will. God has given you a free will. You have to make a choice. Don't believe the predestination garbage. You know, you're predestined to be formed in the image of God after you came to Jesus as the Holy Spirit's work. You're not predestined to hell or heaven. That's your choice. That's the freedom God gave you. Any other love would be a forced love. And how many of you would like to get married if your dad forces you to marry somebody you don't like? The second error is that the world thinks that through Jesus' unrighteousness, they demonstrated that he is not the one because he got crucified. And who was the instigator to crucify him? The religious people. Why do you think you're going to be better off? And they were working with the world government, with Rome. Who do you think is going to take us out? If it comes to that place, it is the very people who once sat here who will backstab you and then give you over to the authorities. The very people. I'm fully aware of that. I'm not afraid of it. This is surprising, a reversal coming. Since the world lacks true righteousness, correct? The world celebrates Jesus' death. They will celebrate the death of his people. We just saw it. We just saw it. All over the world. They will do the same with you and me. But the disciples eventually got their eyes open once the Holy Spirit came in, and they recognized his very absence. His very absence. And he's now home with the Father is proof that he is innocent and everybody else is not innocent. And the third error concerns judgment. How many of you know Jesus has not been judged by his trial? Rather, the world has been judged by his trial. They still don't get it. Jesus described the world's ability to judge as perverse and darkened. The world cannot judge rightly. They don't have the divine light. The world is incapable of making correct decisions about God. It's impossible. But we do it. We always want to judge the word of God. We always want to judge God. Why? When we are on the judgment, he is not on the judgment. The source of all this, the Bible tells us, is the prince of this world, correct? He's the source of all this. He's a liar, as a reminder, a thief, and a murderer. Take this home with you. The churches are filled with people who will hear the words from Jesus. I don't know you. I never knew you. Why? Evil. And what did James say? What the biggest evil is? The tongue. Biggest evil. The church is in need of divine light. The Holy Spirit, the genuine fellowship in Jesus Christ, is the only answer to the problem we're facing. The only answer. Don't throw it away. Don't take it lightly. If you were a compromiser, God is still in the business of forgiveness and mercy. But there's a day coming when it may be too late for you. You have to change. If you're in that business, I plead with you, change. Evil will not depart from your home. And I can't help you. I will never go against the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. We need to be right with God, personally, corporately, as a church. Or we need to be able to discern what's going on in the world. We will look at that in that Wednesday night, how that looks like. C.S. Lewis gave us a beautiful, beautiful piece of book to study this subject. We will only study 8 out of 33 because there's too much material in it. But God willing, we will make it beyond that. For now, my friends, take the word of God serious. Don't be afraid of the world. The world has nothing good for you and me, nothing. Keep your tongue under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Be watchful. Don't do evil things. Don't aspire to positions God has never given you. Don't do it. Stay in your lane is my favorite saying. Don't go outside. Don't take out anything God has never told you to do. Be humble. Work for him and trust him. He's got only the best for you if you do so. Let's bow our heads. Just take a couple of minutes. It's not bad to have a reevaluation where you personally are. As you just take the time, let me share with you where my heart is at. I'm not your enemy. My goal or my wish or my prayer every day is that everyone who ever sat under my ministry and heard the truth, because I know it's not ignorance anymore. It's an act of the will that they can change and spend eternity with the Lord. It's all I'm wishing be accomplishing to me. As we were saying, it's not about a legacy. It's all about Jesus. So Heavenly Father, I bring these people to you. As Moses so wonderfully said, they are your people. And I believe that with all my heart. But you have also given us the free will. You have given us the marching orders. You have told us to be the light, to let it shine in a dark world. And dark it is. It is the church's job to confront evil, to call evil evil and good good. It is our job to let light shine into relationships that are not healthy. It is our job to just speak the truth and never, ever to give in to pressure of people, but only be submissive to the power and the wisdom of your Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you. You are so good and so gracious to us. We're wayward children, that's what we are. And yet you love us so immensely. You never give up. You started a good work. And I know we walk in that path. You will finish that good work. You will. You have never started anything you haven't finished. And I thank you. Thank you for never giving up all the way to the end. So one day we can spend eternity with you. In Jesus' name we pray. And we all can say, amen. Let's stand.